Joe, before you're cleared, do you have a love for God?
Check.
Time for God?
Check.
Is your Bible open?
Check.
Do you have no distractions?
Check.
Well, Joe, we are cleared for takeoff.
Heaven, how might this be my story? Heaven, how very soon I'll be gone. Heaven, how to my mansion in glory. When you hear the trumpet sound, I'm heaven bound.
Cleared for Takeoff is a preparatory program for your faith journey. And now, here is your host, Deacon Joe Montone.
Good morning, my friends, and welcome to Holy Spirit Radio and our program, Clear for Takeoff. My name is Joe Montone, your host. It's a privilege and a pleasure to be back here with you on the air at 1570 AM WISP and 1420 AM WCOJ. And as we prepare for the fifth Sunday of Lent coming up this weekend, my friends, let's begin with our checklist as we always do. Number one, do you have time for God this morning? Check. Do you have a heart which is wide open for God? Check. Is your Bible open? Check. And are you free of distractions this morning? Check. Once again, if you've answered yes to the four questions, my friends, we are ready to engage in the Word of God. And here we go. Our first reading this morning is from the book of Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 43, verses 16 to 21. Thus says the Lord, who opens a way in the sea and a path in the mighty waters, who leads out chariots and horsemen, a powerful army, till they lie prostrate together, never to rise, snuffed out and quenched like a wick. Remember not the events of the past, the things of long ago consider not. See, I am doing something new. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? In the desert I make a way, in the wastelands rivers. Wild beasts honor me, jackals and ostriches, for I put water in the desert and rivers in the wasteland for my chosen people to drink, the people whom I formed for myself, that they might announce my praise. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And in the book of Isaiah today, my friends, from the Old Testament, the prophet says, thus says the Lord, who opens a way in the sea and a path in the mighty waters, who leads chariots and horsemen, a powerful army. My friends, the Lord always makes a pathway for us. He gets us out of difficult times. He makes a way for us, and he brings good out of bad. And when our faith is strong, we have the opportunity, my friends, to draw from the Lord and his power. But he gets us through. What in your life has the Lord brought you through, my friends? Has he made a pathway for you as you transition from one job to another? Have you been challenged with maybe a divorce and life after divorce and moving on to a better situation, a life after neglect or abuse in a situation, in a family, in a home? Has the Lord made a pathway for you and given you vision into the future? Have you been diagnosed with illness, cancer, and other situations that are sometimes fatal, but the Lord made a pathway and saw you through it? And I remember many times in my life where people were stricken with great illnesses, but the Lord brought them through. And one of the great examples for me is many years ago, my mom was stricken with what they call frozen shoulders. And we didn't know exactly what it was, but she was unable to lift her arms more than 90 degrees from her waist. And she could not bring them above her shoulders, couldn't raise her arms to open a cabinet or get dressed. And it became very, very difficult. But I said to her, I said, you know, Mom, I said, we're not sure, you know, how this is going to go. What can you do? What can you not do? Can you live on your own? Because she was living on her own. And I'll just tell you this, that I said to her, maybe it's time that you start to put God first. And she said, well, I've always put God first. I said, no. I said, let's look at the time available in a week. How much time do you give to God? How much quality time? We know you're working 40 hours a week, but are you giving God 40 hours a week? Are you giving him quality time? I said, let's try going to church every day, going to daily mass, and attend the church and pray for a miracle from God. And stay after mass and do the rosary. And just be at peace in your situation. And that's exactly what she did for months. She prayed for a miracle. She attended daily mass, went to the rosary with the faithful women of St. Anastasia in Queens, New York. And I just tell you that in months to come, she started to get use of her arms once again. And she had also gone through some therapy, but together with that, about 6-7 months after the event, she got the use of her arms back completely. And it was a miracle, truly, because I had been working with people who had multiple sclerosis and cerebral palsy and stroke victims, all kinds of situations with handicapped individuals. And Mom was able to get her full physical capabilities back. And the Lord brought her through it. He made a pathway for us as a family. And we saw, you know, the Lord's goodness. And today she's 91 years old and physically doing pretty well. But I just share that story with you, my friends, because the Lord always makes a way for us. But we have to have faith. And we have to put our faith into action. And that's what the prophet Isaiah is telling us. And the word of God goes on to say this. Remember not the events of the past. The things of long ago, consider not. And my friends, many times the past will plague us. It's a burden that we carry for years, for decades. And we can't change the past. So it's very important that we take a look at the past and we take the time to understand what happened, understand those situations that prevent us from moving forward. So we understand it and then we accept the fact that this occurred, but we cannot change it. Through acceptance, we then forgive the past, whoever wounded us. And then we move forward with great peace. And God gives us that pathway to peace through an understanding, acceptance, forgiveness of those who wounded us. And then we move forward with a peace. And if the situation is reverse, where we have wounded someone, then we offer the apology. And God calls us to do it, to make amends with your brother or your sister before you come to me at the altar and bring me a gift at the altar. Go first and make amends, make things right with your brother or sister, your friend, your parent, your child. Make things right. Because we can't change the past, those wounds that we inflicted on others actually took place. So we offer an apology. And through the apology and forgiveness, understanding and acceptance, God again gives us a pathway to peace to go forward into the future. And remember, it says, remember not the events of the past, the things of long ago, consider not. We want to put the past in the past, put it to bed. And there are many examples of that, so that we can move forward with a clear mind, focusing on the future. Really, really important. And the Lord says this, see, I am doing something new. Who is the new you, my friends? Are you a new person in Christ because of your founded faith, the faith God has given you? What was the old you like compared to the new you? Do you recall those attributes that you did not have in the old you and the new ones that God has given you? And it's powerful. You and I, my friends, are a new person. We are new because of our faith. The Lord has elevated us, lifted us up in character, in family, in faith, in work, in community service. He has elevated us, allowed us to take part in many beautiful things. This is the new you. And for many people who or in the WINGS program who were incarcerated or in recovery, we see the change in each and every one of these people. From greedy to generous. From impatient to patient. And there are so many examples, my friends, that we can offer. But it's important that you and I be objective and recognize the generosity of God, that He has created a new person, a new life for us to live. And this is powerful. And the Lord goes on to say this, for my chosen people to drink, the people whom I formed for myself, that they may announce my praise. Do you and I praise the Lord, or do we are we reluctant to do that? Do we refrain from doing it? Is it not important? Do we try to take all the credit, or do we give the honor, praise, and glory to our Lord Jesus Christ? Do we give the Lord His due? Remember, this is the season of Lent. We are preparing, as we are reminded of the passion, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Do we praise, honor, and glorify our Lord and His Father in heaven? Do we not acknowledge the Holy Spirit who lives within us, given to us by our Lord Himself? Are we praising the Lord enough, my friends? Can we raise the standard and give a little bit more praise to our Lord Jesus Christ and put Him first and ourselves second? Can we do it? During the season of Lent, my friends, I challenge you to take a moment to make that happen. Let's go to our second reading. A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Philippians. Philippians chapter 3, verses 8 through 14. Brothers and sisters, I consider everything as a loss because of the supreme good of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For His sake, I have accepted the loss of all things, and I consider them so much rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having any righteousness of my own based on the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God, depending on faith to know Him and the power of His resurrection, and the sharing of His sufferings by being conformed to His death, if somehow I may attain the resurrection from the dead. It is not that I have already taken hold of it, or have already attained perfect maturity, but I continue my pursuit in hope that I may possess it, since I have indeed been taken possession of by Christ Jesus. Brothers and sisters, I, for my part, do not consider myself to have taken possession. Just one thing, forgetting what lies behind, but straining forward to what lies ahead. I continue my pursuit toward the goal, the prize of God's upward calling in Christ Jesus, the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And in the book of Philippians today, my friends, from the mouth of St. Paul, St. Paul says, I consider everything a loss because of the supreme good of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have accepted the loss of all things, and I consider it rubbish. What things do you put in front of God, my friends, make more important than God? Is there anything more important than God in your life? Money, power, prestige, real estate, automobiles? What is it that you and I worship before God? Is your treasure in heaven or is it here on earth? I want you to think about this objectively, my friends, because sometimes we make that mistake and we get caught up in earthly things versus eternal life. And St. Paul tells us this, I consider my pursuit in hope that I may possess it, that perfect spiritual maturity, and attain resurrection from the dead. This is that relationship with Christ that's evolving for us. For you and I, we want to be growing in faith, striving to be perfect as our Heavenly Father is perfect. And we are called, my friends, to grow in faith and continue on that journey. And the Father, our Father in heaven, wants us to come home to Him. But no one can get to the Father except through the Son. And it's important. And the Lord tells us this. And St. Paul goes on to talk about this. Just one thing, he says, forgetting what lies behind, but once again, striving forward to what lies ahead. I continue my pursuit, the goal, the prize of God's upward calling in Christ Jesus. When you think of eternal life, is that a goal for you? Are you in pursuit of eternal life, or are you in a race for something else? Is it even on the table as an important goal in our lives? Is it something we talk about with our children? Think about it, my friends. St. Paul, the great persecutor of the church of Christianity, is telling us that this is what he did. He continues his pursuit towards the goal, the prize of God's upward calling in Christ Jesus. So you and I, my friends, have to continue our pursuit as well. We have to continue to build that relationship with Jesus Christ. And it takes work. It takes time. It takes humility. It takes physical humility to get on our knees sometimes and, you know, pray to God with an open heart, an open mind, a clear mind with no distractions. Hence, we have our checklist here in our program, Clear for Takeoff, to make sure that we are open in our hearts for God. And that we have quality time set aside for God, or are we too busy giving Him just minutes, seconds, versus hours and days? Are we free of distractions, or are we bombarded with all kinds of things, being pulled in many different ways. God calls us to be clear-minded, to be focused, and to be in balance spiritually, mentally, and physically. God calls us to a higher calling. That calling is Jesus Christ. And we are called to do it, my friends, as sons and daughters of God. Our Father in heaven, who brought us into the world on our day of birth, whatever your day of birth is, God brought us into the world. And he says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you and dedicated you to become a prophet. So even before our day of birth, God knew us. But our calling is upward towards Jesus Christ. Our calling is not earthly things only. We are called to a relationship with Christ, and we are called to do what God says to do and to avoid what he says not to do. Very powerful. Let's go to our gospel reading. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. John chapter 8, verses 1 through 11. Jesus went to the Mount of Olives, but early in the morning he arrived again in the temple area, and all the people started coming to him. He sat down and taught them. Then the scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in adultery and made her stand in the middle. They said to him, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the very act of committing adultery. Now in the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. So what do you say?" They said this to test him, so that they could have some charge to bring against him. Jesus bent down and began to write on the ground with his finger. But they continued asking him. He straightened up and said to them, "Let the one among you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." Again he bent down and wrote on the ground. And in response they went away one by one, beginning with the elders. So he was left alone with the woman before him. Then Jesus straightened up and said to her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" She replied, "No one, sir." Then Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go, and from now on, do not sin any more." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. And in the Gospel of John today, my friends, the Word tells us that Jesus sat down and taught them. And you and I have a responsibility to teach others the way to go. Rooted in the Word of God, we have a responsibility to help people to make wise choices, great decisions, to avoid the things that God says not to do. And here he highlights adultery, being unfaithful within a marriage, one of the Ten Commandments. And there are many things that God tells us to do and not to do. But here he highlights adultery, the woman who was caught in adultery. And God is the only judge. He is the one to judge in the end of our lives, all of us. He says, "Let no one among you who is without, the first one among you who is out without sin, cast the first stone." And this is where we have to recognize that you and I, my friends, have made mistakes. We're not in a position of authority. We're not gods. We don't want to judge other people, but we do want to teach generically as the Lord sat down and taught them. We want to teach our children right from wrong. We want to make laws that are rooted in the Word of God, helping to foster great communities, great cities, great countries, with the morals, values, ethics, and biblical principles that God calls us to in the Word of God. And it's powerful. But you and I, my friends, have that responsibility to teach. We cannot just accept unfaithfulness within a marriage, open marriages. We cannot accept out-of-wedlock births, abortion. We cannot accept euthanasia and embryonic stem cell research. God values life. He values family life. He values you and I as human beings. But the context of a marriage is important in the eyes of God. God says a man will leave his mother and father and join his wife, and the two will become one flesh, from the book of Genesis. And that phraseology and terminology is given to us as guidance and direction to be taught with great love, great passion and zeal and enthusiasm, not only from the pulpit on Sundays, but at the dinner table with our own children, our own grandchildren, to help people to avoid mistakes of adultery and out-of-wedlock births and abortion and other things, my friends, that are tragic and require years to recover from. God calls us to teach. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you and dedicated you to become a prophet. Jeremiah 1:5. All of us are prophets in a way, as we are called to adhere to the Word of God. God gives us that mission. We are called here at Holy Spirit Radio to bring the message of the gospel, the Word of God, into the hearts and minds of other people. And we've been doing it since March 19th, 1999. You and I, my friends, have to teach with love and compassion, not pointing the finger, being the judge, but generically, but with power and zeal and enthusiasm for the Word of God, to bring the love of God with the message of accountability within the context of a marriage, to be faithful husbands and faithful wives once again. My friends, that's our show for today. I want to thank you for calling in today and being with us here at Holy Spirit Radio and our program, Clear for Takeoff. Have a great day and God bless.
You have been listening to Cleared for Takeoff with your host, Deacon Joe Montone, a weekly preparatory program for your faith journey.